Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. All of us are going to read that together. And then we're reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. Are you there? Are you there? Some people couldn't say yes until it showed on the screen. You are not there until it showed. Okay? Are you ready? Let's go. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. All right? Okay. If we'll give this one a title, I'll call it Prayer, Visions, and Dreams. Prayer, Visions, and Dreams. But it's just a little extension of what we shared on Sunday. So you hear what Paul the Apostle is saying. He had started the chapter by saying in verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Okay, so that, our emphasis is on the fact that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to pray. Your flesh doesn't want to pray. Okay? But your spirit wants to communicate with God. And Galatians 5:16 says, when we walk in the spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Romans 8:26 says, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself helps our weaknesses in prayer. Good. So we said that when we pray in the spirit or we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray beyond the capacity of our human understanding. Okay? Good. Now, Paul says, yes, I can pray in tongues. But he says, when I pray, he said, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Let me read that from the Amplified Version of the Bible. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Let me pick it from the Message Bible. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my mind lies fallow, and all that intelligence is wasted. Okay, so I pray in the spirit, I pray in tongues. What does your mind do when you're praying in tongues, usually? It travels, goes to London, from London to Hong Kong, Hong Kong to Beijing, and from there down to Dubai. Okay. So he says here in the Message Bible verse 15, so what's the solution? What's the solution? He said the answer is simple enough. Do both. I should be spiritually free and expressive as I pray, but I should also be thoughtful and mindful as I pray. Okay. So Paul is saying, when you pray in the spirit, it's your spirit that is praying. It bypasses your mind, which has its advantages, because your mind is limited in its capacity. The things you don't know are more than the things you know. Okay, but when we pray in the spirit, the Holy Spirit helps us to address issues beyond human comprehension. But then he says the mind is there, and that it's being wasted. Verse 15 in the Amplified Bible says, then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. Okay, so the point here is that while our spirits are engaged in prayer, our minds also should be engaged in prayer. Okay, I used to have that situation where my mind would wander off, and get so deep in a particular line of thought, I would not know when I had stopped speaking. I would have gone, and then all of a sudden come back to myself and continue. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. When we pray, in the power of the Holy Spirit activates our inner faculties. And that's very important. You remember Acts chapter 2? Once on the day of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit came on all those people gathered together in the upper room. Their inner faculties were activated. The Holy Spirit took control of their vocal cords, but he did more than that. And Peter said in Acts chapter 2 verses 16 and 17, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. In other words, they will make divinely inspired utterances. He said, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. So when we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit activates our inner faculties. And if we want to derive the greatest benefit from prayer, then we have to submit our minds also to the Holy Spirit, because then he's able to give us visions and dreams. He paints pictures on the canvas of our hearts and minds. The problem is, if your mind is not functioning, you can't translate your spiritual experiences into realities in the material world, because your mind bridges the gap between the physical and the spiritual. So when we pray, especially when we pray in the spirit, yes, our spirit is praying. The Holy Spirit is empowering our spirit to pray to God. But we should not let our minds be unproductive and unfruitful. So Paul says, I will pray with my spirit and I will pray with my mind also. Remember Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. Wait. Let me get that out of the Amplified Bible. I think it sounds exciting. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 from the Amplified Bible says, now to him who by, and in brackets in consequence of, the in brackets action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Oh my God. You know, the first thing about this verse is that God hears more than our words. He hears our thoughts. In fact, I say that he hears our thoughts as loud as he hears our words. What makes prayer prayer? It's communication, isn't it? What makes this prayer is that it's directed towards God. The same thing with your thoughts. So when your thoughts are directed towards God, that's prayer. Because he's not a human being, he doesn't have physical ears. He hears your thoughts as loud as he hears your words. In fact, I think the reason why many Christians don't get answers to their prayers is because their thoughts are in conflict with their words. They're asking for prosperity, they're thinking poverty. They're asking for abundance, they're thinking scarcity. Okay, they're asking for healing and health, they're thinking sickness and disease. They're asking for promotion, they're thinking regression or stagnation. Okay? So he says here, God expects us to think. He expects us to have dreams, to have goals, to have aspirations, to have desires. And then when the power of the Holy Spirit comes and activates our faculties, then he takes us beyond whatever we may have thought. Amen. Good. But the important thing, though, is when you're praying, you should be thinking. Paul says, I'm going to pray with my spirit. I'm also going to pray with my mind. I'm also going to pray with my intelligence. Because the Holy Spirit needs your mind. In Habakkuk chapter 2, you remember Habakkuk the prophet said, I will stand on my watch, I'll set myself on the tower, I'll see what the Lord will say to me. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because that doesn't sound grammatically correct. I will see what the Lord will say. Is that correct? No, I thought it should be, I will hear what the Lord will say. But then in spiritual matters, we don't obey natural laws. That verse is correct. When God speaks to you, you see things. Amen. When he speaks to you, you see things because he speaks with visions and dreams, impressions, ideas, impulses, okay? So he said, I'll see what the Lord will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Verse 2, he said, and the Lord answered me and said what? Write the vision. Write what you see. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer you and do what? And show you great and mighty things that you don't know. So when we pray, we should expect visions. We should expect dreams. We should expect ideas from God. Amen. Don't let your mind be disengaged. Don't let your mind wander off. Okay, yield your mind to the Holy Spirit while you are praying in the Spirit. And then you will be surprised at the visions, the dreams that God is going to give you. He did that to Abraham. When Abraham discussed with him, God gave him dreams. God gave him visions. Okay, Genesis 15, he says, how am I going to be sure I'm going to have a child? How am I going to be sure? How will your promises be fulfilled in me and my descendants? And God said, come out of your tent. Come out of that tent. Your prayers are being limited because your view is limited. When you stay inside a tent, you only catch a piece of the sky. Come out. Your horizon is too limited for me to bless you. If I don't change your thinking, I can't change your life. So, mister, come out. He said, count the stars. Amen. What was God trying to do? Change his thinking. Okay? Because God will do beyond what you ask and what you think. But this was a man who was asking for... God promised to build a nation out of him, and he was struggling to get just one child. Okay, so he was thinking scarcity, and God was thinking the whole nation. He was thinking just one child. So God pulled him out and said, count the stars. And obviously he must have lost count. And God said, so shall your descendants be. Amen. Each of them stands for a baby. So what was God doing? Trying to engage his mind. And you know in Genesis 17, God went further and changed his name and changed Sarah's name. Sarah called this man Abraham. Call him father of many nations. Tell him he's a daddy. And you, Abraham, call her Sarah. Okay? And it was because, yes, he had made the promise, he was going to do it, but he needed them, he needed their minds. He needed the pictures in them to change before he could do what he would do, because your mind functions like the camera. And it's the image that is printed there on your memory card or the film that will be printed out for you in real life. Okay? So God had to change the picture in there. So I'm just saying, when we pray in the Spirit, there's the tendency for our minds to wander off. There's a tendency for us not to engage our minds and our thoughts. But we really, really need to engage our minds and our thoughts. And when we pray, what I do is I always have a pen. I have my notebook because I expect flashes of inspiration. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 19? The Son can do nothing of himself, but whatever he sees the Father do. And how do you see what the Father will do except with your imagination? Okay, he said, for the Father loves the Son and shows him whatever he himself is doing. So I figured that Christ's prayer life must have been exciting. I'm telling you, when he began to pray, the Holy Spirit engaged his imagination. And then he would see blind eyes open. And then he would see the deaf healed and the dumb speaking. And then he would see the lame walking. I mean, he spent and listen, if in your prayer time, God is giving you video clips of miracles, you won't be in a hurry to run away from his presence. Am I right? Who won't enjoy that kind of prayer? You see the future before it happens. That's why Jesus would go on the mountain to pray, and then he would hang out there till the morning. It was exciting. And you remember? He hung out like that on the rocks, and then came in the morning and walked on the water. Hallelujah. There's no point taking ship. Let's invent a new type of transportation. Hallelujah. He was walking on the water. But he just finished praying. He was seeing things. I pray in Jesus' name that your imagination will be sanctified imagination. Remember 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of any man the things that God has proposed for those who love him. Verse 10 says, but these things he has revealed unto us by his, hallelujah. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1. You read from verse 15 downwards, he was praying for the Ephesian Christians that God would give them the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in his knowledge. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened or flooded with light, that you may know the hope of his calling. That's that you may sense your destiny. That you may catch glimpses of God's plans and purposes for your life. And the riches of the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. Oh, I love that. When I began to pray with the help of the Holy Spirit, naturally speaking, I didn't have riches. It was the poverty of the inheritance of the saints in darkness that I brought from where I was coming from. But as I was filled with the Spirit of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and began to pray, I began to get clips of a new me. It was a different me. I loved it. It was a new me, a better me, a prosperous me, a blessed me. I was excited. And you know what? You remember James 5:14? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. How do you get faith? Through revelation. So when the Holy Spirit gives you those visions and those dreams, faith is birthed in your heart. That was what happened to Abraham. You read the story in Romans chapter 4, himself and Sarah. Because the Bible says, now they had the capacity to hope against hope. Because God, who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Amen. God who raises the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You know, was the one who spoke to him. So the Bible says that he had faith and he didn't waver anymore and didn't even reckon with his body and that of Sarah that didn't have the capacity to birth a baby. I'm telling you, that's what happens when you come out of prayer and the Holy Spirit has been painting pictures on your imagination. Your natural reality loses control over your life. It's no more the basis on which you run your life. You run your life on revelation. Amen. It's sweet to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's sweet. But then it's sweetest when while you're praying in the spirit, you engage your mind also in the prayer. You have a goal that you present before the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit told me once, he said, you keep the picture of what you're praying about in your mind, before you. You keep the picture, keep the objective, keep the goal. He said, somewhere along the line, when the picture changes, then you know your prayer has been answered. Okay? And somewhere along the line, I'm going to give you a flash of inspiration. I'm going to give you a new vision, give you a new dream. Okay? He says, and at that point, I answered your prayer. I still remember very well the day I was in Houston, Texas. And I was in the bathroom and was praying, and we're at our former location. And I was, you know, praying and trusting God for a new facility. And I was saying, Lord, how do we raise $100 million? Now, I couldn't figure out in my wildest imagination how we could raise $100 million in our church. And I was just asking the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't ask church members because church members didn't call me. Amen. Nobody could have designed this task destiny. Only God could have. Okay, so I asked him, how do we raise $100 million? The answer that I got, only God could have told me that, because it wasn't a direct answer to my question. He said, don't build for yesterday, build for tomorrow. What's that? I said, Lord, tomorrow. What's that? And you know, because of the way, you know, when you are mature, you have your senses exercised to discern between good and evil. If you've been working with someone for some time, you recognize the person's voice, isn't it? Even if the person is in the other room. Good. So I recognized, you know, when that spontaneous thought came into my spirit, that must have been the Holy Spirit. I said, don't build for yesterday, build for tomorrow. What's that? He said, I'm telling you to build a church where governors can come to the service and be comfortable attending the service. I said, oh my God, thank you, Lord. Governors are coming to our church. Wow. Thank you, Lord. He said, hold it. What's the vision I gave you for the church? I said, to raise role models for the society. He said, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some governors coming from somewhere. I'm talking about the people who are there already. I'm going to promote them. The governors are there already. And you know, in that instant, whatever the picture was that I was holding of what we could do with $100 million, the picture changed. Instantly. I said, thank you, Lord. $500 million. Thank you, Lord. $500 million. Amen. Okay, so that's it. Hallelujah. It's a new day for you. There are things that eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Things that have never entered into the heart of any man. I'm talking about divine creativity. I'm talking about inventions. I'm talking about innovations. I'm talking about things that people will hear about all over the world. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm talking about creative solutions. I'm talking about this country's opportunity, this country's problems becoming your own opportunities. Amen. I love to be like David. They pour oil on your head, and then they send you on errand to the battlefront, and then you get there and you hear Goliath's voice. Everybody hears that voice. Ye men of Israel, choose you among you a man who will come out and fight. And everybody's heart is struck by terror. And then you get there, you hear the same voice, and you're hungry instead of being fearful. It's faith that explodes in your spirit. How about that? I think I prefer that. I don't want to be scared by the things that scare everybody around here. I want faith. I want faith in my heart. And then he sees the guy. He says, I'm going to take him out. And they say, what? You tiny tot, tiny rat. You want to take him out? He says, I'm going to take him out. So they took him to Saul. Saul, this guy says he's going to take the giant out. Saul said, son, that guy's been fighting since he was young. You're just a young guy. What are you going to do about him? You don't even have anything to fight with. He says, I'm going to take him out. He says, okay, try this. He puts them on. He says, I've not tried this before. I've tried this before. I have here a sling, 5 smooth stones. I'll take him out. He says, okay, son, go ahead. Everybody had been running away from this guy for 40 days. And then you get there, and you see differently. Everybody's saying, the guy is so big, we can't take him out. You say, the guy is so big, I can't miss him. I'm hearing the word new visions. New dreams. New visions. New dreams. New visions. New dreams. I said new visions. New dreams. New visions. New dreams. As we pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. How many people want to pray in the Spirit tonight? New visions. New dreams. New levels. New dimensions. New opportunities. Favor on a new dimension. New territories. Can we do something? Can we pray first for anyone who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? It's easy. It's easy, right? Paul the Apostle got to Ephesus in Acts 19. He said he found some disciples there, asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we've never even heard whether there was any Holy Ghost or not. They said, unto whose baptism were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Wow. So he said, good. And he got them baptized, got them filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says they were speaking in tongues and magnifying God and prophesying. In Acts chapter 10, Peter got to Cornelius' house and was preaching the gospel to Gentiles. Obviously, he was a reluctant preacher because he didn't understand why God should be talking to Gentiles in the first place. But it looked like his sermon was windy and he was taking too much time. So Acts 10:44, the Bible says, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell on those who had him. The Holy Spirit fell on all those who had him. And they began to prophesy and to magnify God. Okay? So, when someone who's already filled with the Holy Spirit lays hands on you and prays for you, the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you. One requirement from you, hunger and thirst. You got to be someone who is tired of operating with human ability. Somebody who is tired of running with the limits of your human mind. Our world is too complex for you to unravel with your human mind. Not to talk of this country. The factors you are dealing with are too sophisticated, too complex for you to unravel. But listen to me. When God speaks to you, nothing. Nothing in existence, nothing that will be invented can stop God's word from being fulfilled in your life. Amen. So, we'd like to pray for those who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then all of us will pray together while they are praying, and then all of us will be praying together. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I know somebody says, how am I going to speak in tongues? Yeah. But in the first place, it's supposed to be a language you don't understand. Right? So there's no point trying to figure it out. Okay? What the Holy Spirit gives you is inspiration. It gives you the inspiration. And you yield your life completely to Him. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's no longer I. It is Christ living in me. But tonight, what's happening is you're yielding your life completely to God. Your spirit, your soul, your body. You want the power of the Holy Spirit to rest on you, and you want it to be the Holy Spirit that will move you and help you to pray and to live your life every single time. So once you yield completely, James chapter 3 says, whoever can control his tongue is the one who can control the whole body and control his life. That's why the Holy Spirit goes first for your vocal cords. If you can control them, then He has absolute influence and control over your life. Amen. So you don't worry. You wait. We'll pray for you. Lay hands on you. The power of the Holy Spirit will come on you. God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit more than you want to be filled. I'm telling you that. He never designed for man to live with his own ability. From the beginning, the design was for man to live by God's divine ability and power. So he wants to fill you. And when we pray for you, lay hands on you, as it inspires you, you just say whatever it is. I was going to say whether it makes sense or not. It won't make sense, actually. So you say it all the same, because you're not meant to understand it. Amen. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, you're speaking mysteries, deep knowledge. Hallelujah. Are you ready? I love to do this. My life changed doing this. I love to pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Isn't it exciting when you're living your life and you realize your reality now was a vision or a dream God gave you 10 years ago? God gave you 15 years ago. You saw it before. I saw this before. I've lived this before. The first time I remember I bought a brand new Mercedes, it was an E-Class. And, you know, when we got it, we call it tear nylon, right? You remove the nylon on it. And we're doing that, you know, in the office. And somebody said, sir, how does it feel? And for a second, you know, that caught me off guard. Because I realized I wasn't feeling any special. I had lived it before. I'm serious. I had driven that car before. Woo! Listen. I've never said it before. Should I say it? Should I say it? Okay. I say this star that I'm already preaching in, holding services in, a day star facility. And from what I'm seeing, it's around here. Remarkable. And it will take at least four times the number of people that can sit here on a Sunday. And I'm preaching there already. When we were at our previous location, that's how I was speaking. We were running five services and I would come and say, excuse me, my spirit is gone. I'm not only preaching to you guys, I'm preaching to a bigger crowd. Because I was already here. And I remember the day I said, look, in that new facility, I'm already preaching four services. That's what I'm talking about. I saw this. I lived this. I did this before. It's exciting. Hallelujah. Wait. How many people have not been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and you want us to pray for you tonight? Can you wave your hand? Can you wave your hand? Amen. God wants you blessed. Can we all stand to our feet as we pray together? And if you want us to pray with you, can you quickly come forward here? We're going to pray with you, lay hands on you. Hallelujah. Can we all stand as we pray together? And if you want us to pray with you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, can you please come right out here to the front so we can pray, lay hands on you? Listen, no man can fill with the Holy Spirit. It's God who fills you. So your heart is to God. Your heart, your prayer is to God to fill you with His Spirit. On the day that Jesus was baptized at the River Jordan, okay, on the day that Jesus was baptized at the River Jordan, the Bible says that He went into the water praying. So there were many people who were baptized that day. It wasn't only Jesus. But the difference about Him was He was hungry. He had a sense of His destiny. But He knew one thing, human ability would never be able to do it. So while He was going in there to be baptized, His heart was crying out to God. And the Bible says that as He came out of the water, the heavens opened. The Spirit of God descended on Him like in the bodily form of a dove. Okay? And the Bible says that God spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. And His life changed dramatically from that night forward. I'm telling you. Some of you here, you're going to be surprised. You know, something's going to change in your dreams. The We have what we call the gifts of the Spirit. You just find out He's giving you some new special abilities. You look at someone like this and you have the ability to know either what happened to the person or what's happening in the person's life now or what the person is thinking or probably what the person ate before coming to meet you or what's wrong in the person's life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I'm telling you, it's an exciting way to live your life. You find out now, you lay hands on the sick or pray for someone and instantly they'll be healed. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, listen, I'm going to ask you to pray. You pray to God yourself, then I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. And then when I get to the point when I say receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will shout, I receive in Jesus' name. And from that point on, just as the Holy Spirit helps you, you just pray. Don't pray in English. You can't pray in two languages at the same time. So you just exercise the faith that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit tonight and you are speaking in this new language. It can't make sense. Just speak it anyhow. Anyhow. Inside here, while we're praying for you and laying hands on you, the devil can't feel you. So don't be afraid. Maybe it's the devil. It can't be the devil. He's not around here at all. It's going to be the Spirit of God. Amen. Are you ready? Do you want the power of the Holy Spirit tonight? You want the Holy Spirit tonight? Thank you, Lord. Can you please just bow your head and just pray to God the Father and say, Lord, Jesus said, if we, being men, know how to give good gifts to our children, how will the Heavenly Father not give us the Holy Spirit? So, Lord, I thank you because I know you want to give me the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I want a new prayer language. Hallelujah. I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want a fresh touch in my prayer life. I want a fresh touch in my prayer life. About the person standing next to you. I want you to focus on God now and express your hunger and your thirst. I don't want to live an ordinary life. I don't want to live an ordinary life. I don't want to struggle with my natural human ability. I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. You get filled with the Spirit of God after your relationship with God has been restored. Sin is the barrier between us and God. So the first thing to do is to ensure actually you have a relationship with God and you have a right to talk to God in the first instance. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us were born sinners. But someday, when you hear the truth that Jesus paid for your sins on the cross, you ask Him for forgiveness, He forgives you. What happens there? The Spirit of God comes into you, destroys the nature of sin, and puts God's nature in you. Sin is not just an act, it's a nature. As long as the nature is there, the act must follow. Some people think it's because you smoke, that's why you're a sinner. No. They think it's because you sin, that's why you're a sinner. No. It's because we are sinners, that's why we sin. So the first miracle is God forgives us our sins and destroys that nature of sin, takes it out and puts his own nature. It's that nature that gives us the power, capacity to do what is right, like God. So if you want us to pray together, that's the first prayer we must pray. If you want us to pray together to ask God for forgiveness of sins, perhaps you've even been a Christian before, but you have backslidden into sin. If Jesus Christ comes tonight, you're not absolutely certain you will make heaven. I'd like to pray for you too. Can you please put your hand on your heart? Pastor Sam, I'm a sinner. My lifestyle is not right with God. I want God to forgive me my sins. I want to be a child of God. I want my sins forgiven. Now I know Jesus paid for my sins. I want my sins forgiven. And then I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. God bless you for your honesty. If your hand is on your heart, can you please say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. And I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your sons and daughters standing out here who have asked for forgiveness tonight. And we thank you because your word has promised, if any man is in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And we thank you for destroying the nature of sin from their hearts. We thank you for the miracle of transformation in their lives today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, we have some important information to give you, but that will be later when we're done praying here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I'm going to pray now for us to be filled with the Spirit. Can I ask the pastors to please come, because we'll be laying hands on them, right? Laying hands on them. After I pray, we'll be laying hands. Hallelujah. I hope you're hungry. I'm serious. Some of us, before they even touch you, the power of God will hit you. And some of us, when that hand touches you, the power of God will hit you, touch you. The Spirit of God is going to touch you. The power of God is coming on you. But I want you to be hungry. I want you to be hungry. I don't want you out here wondering, maybe not. No, maybe it doesn't work here. You've got to believe. Oh my God. You've got to be telling God in your heart, if nobody will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit here tonight, I must be filled. With the evidence of speaking in tongues, amen. Be expectant. I'm going to pray. Remember, when I get to the end of this prayer, and I say, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Just say, I receive in Jesus' name. And begin to pray in your prayer language. Begin to pray in tongues. Amen. And we'll come lay hands on you. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you. Thank you because heaven's attention is over this place right now. Thank you for open heavens. Thank you for lives that are about to be aligned with destiny. Hallelujah. Jesus, you were baptized at the River Jordan and the power of the Holy Spirit came on you. And the Bible says that you went in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of you all throughout the whole region. Lord, one life here is about to be touched by your power. And we ask that you pour out your Spirit upon our brothers and sisters here tonight. Touch everyone with the power of the Holy Spirit. Baptize them, Lord, in the power of your Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Take over all their faculties. Use them like you never used them before. Move them like you never moved them before. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, as Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon these ones. Let your sons and daughters prophesy. Let your young men see visions. Let your old men dream dreams. In the mighty name of Jesus. Receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Go ahead. Hey.
Sheba Rico Satakapo Chantele Bros, the power of the Holy Ghost. Ele Brobro Shushika Haya Medrale de Risto Kaya Mandrelo Shetale Brobre Justika Hale Rosh. Ele Bros Takahat Mandre Shushti Brahale Megadishta Le Motra Shushti Bahat.
I'm not afraid.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Medro shante brego shustika halevegedisto medro shusta maketro shustra halevegedisto malo shante ya talaya ruska talaya velo shante lemo brego regale shustka talaya vegedisto talaya
everyone, while we pray for the few people left here, may I ask everyone to stretch forth their hands towards me as I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Samuel anointed David in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because the anointing gave David the capacity to solve problems in the palace, problems for royalty, to solve problems for a whole nation. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, for capacity for new visions. Capacity for new dreams. Thank you for power to cast out devils. Power to heal the sick. Your word says we will lift up serpents. If we drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt us. We lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Thank you for grace to prophesy. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thank you. If you came out here, we prayed for you, laid hands on you. You know you are filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Can you raise your hand up? You were filled. Oh my God, you were filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. Some of you will sleep tonight. You will wake up with a start in the middle of the night speaking in tongues. There was someone in this church who told me, you know, he came for... he said, I prayed for him in the dream. He was speaking in tongues in the dream. He attended the service like this. He said, well, he knew he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he didn't speak in tongues. In the dream, he was prayed for. He began to speak in tongues from the dream and woke up speaking in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. Your life will never remain the same again. Will you stretch forth your hands towards this communion table as we pray over the body of the Lord and renew our covenant with God tonight? Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the body of Christ that was broken for us on the cross. We thank you. So, tonight we declare we cannot be cursed. We are blessed. Every form of pain goes. Every form of disease goes. In the name of Jesus. Every form of weakness goes. The power that raised Jesus from the dead touches everyone's spirit, soul, and body. Every tissue of the body that is dead comes back to life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Dead dreams come back to life. Dead opportunities are restored tonight. Dead relationships are restored tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for the blood of the Lord shed on Calvary's cross. We declare tonight our sins are forgiven. We're free from guilt. Free from condemnation. Free from shame. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of righteousness, the right to stand before you in the name of Christ, the power to stand before Satan and to cast him out, and the boldness to stand before men. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.